Session number 8266.
Major Pritchard Gordon, Reel 4.
I was saying that hopefully you would meet some friendly Greek who would look after you.
Did you ever have to live off the sea, as it were, on any occasion?
No, not really. Fresh water was an awful problem. And as you can imagine, there were not too many wrong marines who weren't wearing a set. They were usually bearded and mustachioed. No, none of us, to my knowledge, ever got into a predicament where they really were desperately short of food or water. It occurs to me to mention the type of thing that happened to us which you would never envisage. At one stage, I received a signal from Flag Officer Levant and Eastern Med saying to bring three canoes immediately to Alexandria. And it was, the time then was 11 o'clock at night. It all seemed very strange. But by 4 o'clock in the morning, we were in Alexandria and we were taken out on a sort of kike which usually took vegetables out to the depot ship in the middle of the harbour. Camouflage, heavily camouflage. And by 6 o'clock in the morning, I was on the deck of the depot ship being instructed which of the ships in the harbour had mutinied. That is to say, the Greek Navy had mutinied due to some political cause. And the requirement was for my team to knock out as many of the craft which were under mutiny so to avoid sort of straightforward attack and bloodshed between the British and the Greeks by trying to overcome the mutineers. Luckily, again, this came to nothing because, of course, many of the boats were wooden. And again, the mutiny tended to fizzle out in Alexandria, but one big ship continued to with the mutiny. We had to go by destroyer around to port side. And again, we came alongside and asked the captain to surrender, which he refused to do. So it seemed that we might have to attack the ship. Well, at this stage, I managed to discover what the name of the ship was. And by a little research, I discovered that the skin of her hull was no less than 5.5 inches thick, so my limpets weren't going to be very valuable. So we were withdrawn from this effort to quell the mutiny and sent back about our normal business. But that, again, is the sort of thing that used to happen to us. Out of the blue, we would be expected to put a canoe team together and produce it in the right place at the right time, which we were able to do usually without too much trouble.
Were you told much about the causes of the mutiny?
None whatever, really. I just knew enough to understand what the form was. It was not necessary to know any more, and the Admiralty were my directive, and if they required the job done, they didn't question who was right and who was wrong.
What was the attitude of the more regular units of the armed forces, if I can put it like that, towards RMBPD?
We were attached only for maintenance, really, to a unit known as Raiding Forces Middle East, under the command of Brigadier D.J.T. Turnbull. And they accepted us on the basis that we were said to be able to do something which they couldn't do. They were not quite certain what that was. They were slightly suspicious of us,
happy to let us go our own way, and they in no way interfered with what we were doing. And after a period of months, of course, when they found us working literally with them on various operations, they were only too happy to accept us as just another mate in the mess, you know. But those are the only people we were in contact with, was other than the Navy, who ferried us around in various types of kikes or MTLs. We were very rarely in contact with any other troops other than Raiding Forces in the Middle East. And they, of course, were so busy that half the time they were up in the islands. And you just got to know a face, and the chap was gone, and somebody you've never seen before in your life was there again. We were not, you know, they didn't like having people put into their rather famous unit or being attached to it, but they very soon got used to it.
What was the role of Raiding Forces Middle East supposed to be?
Clearing the islands, causing as much chaos and confusion through the whole of the Aegean and the Dodecanese, and which they did very, very successfully. They didn't try to run too many major raids. That wasn't their duty at all. Their duty was to just harass an enemy who at the time appeared to have most things going for him.
Earlier on you mentioned Mountbatten. Did you come under combined operations?
We started quite definitely under the command of combined operations, but in due course the directive was transferred from combined ops to the Royal Navy, and it was from there, over the last 2 to 3 years anyway, that we'd received our orders. But after all, it really was an arm of the Navy. If the Navy couldn't get in with other craft, the answer was, could we use some of these swimmers or divers or canoeists or something? So we became directly under the control of the Navy. From the very beginning of the unit, of course, the Navy was responsible for the maintenance of our equipment. So we had a naval maintenance team under a lieutenant commander, a wonderful man called Commander Bill Ladbroke.
Why do you say he was wonderful?
He was a man of enormous ingenuity and with the capability of getting anywhere quicker than anybody I know and finding a solution to a problem, be it putting explosive motorboats in aeroplanes or salvaging a lost MSC which had got stuck 60 feet down, when in actual fact the driver shouldn't have gone further than 30. He was a totally remarkable man, and everybody trusted his ability. If you were using equipment prepared by him, you were confident from the very beginning it would get you there.
How did he spell his name?
Ladbroke. R.W. Ladbroke.
With an E or without an E?
L-A-D-B-R. L-A-D-B-R-O-O-K-E. Bill is still alive and lives at Meadow Cottage, Holt Forest, Wimborne, Dorset.
Were you ever under SIE?
Yes, we were in the early days, yeah. That is so. Because the research units in which Sir Donald Campbell worked with Captain Hussey, that was definitely part and parcel of SOE. It's all rather confused because, for instance, when we planned a raid on the submarine pens up in Bergen in Norway with the explosive motorboats, all the escape routes and the escape equipment which the men were given, all that was prepared by SOE. But SOE had nothing whatever to do with my operation in operations in the Middle East. Frankton certainly came under combined operations when Lord Stewart-Batten gave his personal blessing to Major Hasler leading that operation. And it was only after that that we became directly under the Admiralty.
You mentioned the operation that was called off. What was the name of the lake in France? Can you recollect?
No, I was never given the name.
Why was it called off?
Once again, the mistake which was made by the Boffins was that the hulls of these four-engined huge flying boats turned out to be laminated timber and not metal. And, of course, therefore, I was totally ill-equipped to attach the limpets when I got there.